Do not quench the Holy Spirit. I believe there are two factors that conspire to quench the Holy Spirit. Let me just identify both of them quickly. First of all, the Spirit of God is quenched, is domesticated in any church when there is a lack of expectation that God will, can, and wants to act supernaturally in our midst. Lack of expectation. When I was in seminary, long, long time ago, there was a movement, a biblical interpretation movement called the Redaction Movement. And the whole point of the Redaction Movement was to, in their terminology, demythologize the gospel. In other words, they would want to take the gospel message and grate it down to a nub. We never quite figured out what the nub was. The professor would always say, well, you have to realize, gentlemen, that when all of this was composed, when all of the New Testament was composed, we had a different cosmology than we have today. We were then pre-enlightenment people. Just as an aside, we're doing real great post-enlightenment, aren't we? Just slick, just wonderful. And there were accretions, you see, that were added to the nub. And so it was like you take a wedge of Parmesan and you just grate it on down until you get to that nub. And all this. Well, I was one of four students in that class at the seminary that they called us the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And we had a tendency to take this particular professor on. Now, I was young and kind of dumb and rude, but I had a mouth on me. And so I was the one out of the four. Now, I've gotten a little savvier since then, but I was the one who, whenever the four horsemen of the apocalypse decided we needed to challenge the professor, guess who? Dick, come on, say something. So on this particular, one particular day, we were learning about the redaction theory, you know, of the gospel. And man, I just had it. You see, what they were promoting was a supernatural-less God. And a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit was referred to as memory. Just the Holy Spirit was reduced to just remembering what used to happen way back then, you see. Not a person, but a memory. And I'm going, you know, I don't know, I'm not the brightest bulb in the pack, but even I know you go to a church and you start telling people, let's redact the gospel down to the nub, you know, and you're not going to have a job very long. And so on this particular day, Ben, who's my friend sitting next to me, said, Dick, you just got to say something. So I won't tell you his name. It's Professor Smith. I raised my hand, which we did. We sat on the back row all the time. So in case we needed to make an exit, we could do that pretty quickly. We sat on the back row, and I raised my hand, and the poor professor, he always rolled his eyes. Don't get it. Whenever I raised my hand, or any of us did, and he said, yes, Mr. Drury. I said, I think I have the nub. He said, I can't wait to hear this. I said, I think the nub is this. In Matthew 11, Jesus said to John the Baptist's disciples, go back and tell him that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the gospel is preached to the poor. And Professor Smith looked at me and said, Mr. Drury, if you need a Sunday school class, this isn't going to be it. And my friend Ben next to me stood up, opened his arms, and he said, Professor Smith, the jaws of hell have opened wide to swallow you. No wonder I didn't win the preaching prize. I always wonder why I did. And then we had a There was a Korean guy from South Korea there, Mr. Lee. Didn't know him very well. I told you about Mr. Cheng, who'd come from China, who was a great ping pong player. But Mr. Lee, he was a South Korean guy, and he came over. I am convinced that some of these other countries would send students to our seminary because we were such a huge mission field. I mean, we needed to get saved, and they'd send their guys over there. And Mr. Lee could speak almost no English whatsoever. And he was sitting there in this redaction class, this whittle it down class, this, you know, domesticate God class. And he knew something was going on. He didn't know what, but he knew something wasn't right. And Mr. Lee stood up after Ben standing there talking about the jaws of hell ready to swallow this guy. Mr. Lee stands up next to his desk, bows to the professor, slaps his Bible, and says, "It's time for the Bible." And he opens this Bible and starts reading the Gospel of John in Korean. And all professors, this is no lie, Professor Smith looked down, took his stuff, booked out. Booked out. And the rest of the class that was there sang a hymn. We just sang a hymn. And then we went our way. Now, all of that, all of that to say, we were being tutored in a lack of expectation. What kind of God was that? Not my God. What kind of God was that?